This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
now, we'll just pray for the word. Lord, we thank you for the word now, and we just give you thanks and honor and praise that we're able to sit with your word and able to dig into it and enjoy your presence. Welcome you, Holy Spirit, as our teacher, and we welcome you as the one who directs us, the one who leads us into truth. Also, you do that this morning to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are heading into, hopefully, well, most, I suppose, we'll take a break over the next weeks, and schools are out. It's always a bit of a bittersweet thing for parents, you know. Holidays are amazing. But then the children are with you 24/7, which is amazing. You know, our children are a blessing from the Lord. those times of a little bit quieter times during the day when they are doing amazing stuff and being educated and stuff at school is really a blessing. But in any case, we are heading out towards we're going to visit some family on Friday and for a few days on a farm, my aunt, and we've been playing with this idea for a while, and the children have been bugging us to camp, so we want to camp. But now we're not going camping at a camping place, but we said, let's camp on the farm, right? So now... So my aunt phones us this week. She says, no, she's got the guest flat is available for us. You know, all the family have been, you know, there's enough place for everybody. There's a lot of family from the German side of our family coming. But we've got this nice, you know, it's really nice flat that's available for our family. And we're like feeling very awkward. But we'd really like to camp because we've now promised the children. So yes, we'll be camping. So let's pray for good weather. And we'll just be sleeping in the tent. So the rest of the stuff we'll do in the house. But the children are really excited. Now there's a caravan also that apparently is available there. So now they can't make up their minds. Is it going to be the caravan or the tent? Or I think we'll have to take turns and they're going to be rotating. We'll see how long this excitement lasts. But praise God. Maybe we'll be drifting down the current somewhere with the rains, but let's see. But I really trust that everybody will have an opportunity to have some time and just to take a breather. This morning, I want to look at a few things and maybe a little bit pertinent this time of the year. And the society that we live in, this word contentment is not a big word, right? It's not big. And years ago there was this ad for Bitcoin. What is it called? Bitcoin Bytes, or what are they called? And they were talking about some stuff that's not big in Mexico. And one of them, I just remember the one was basketball. It was Sandy, and the guys were trying to. It's not big. In our society, contentment is not big, right? And it's in fact such a thing that people are running off the better and more and it must be bigger and it must be better. And the word upgrade, that happens a lot these days. Everything must be upgraded, not just your phone contract, but stuff was regularly be upgraded, right? Years ago, there was no thing like that. There wasn't need for that. But these days, talking about the next upgrade is a regular thing. But have you heard about this kind of movement that's happened? They call themselves minimalists. And I think it's almost an opposition to the stuff gathering and extreme discontentment. That's kind of an opposition to that that's happening. But I don't think this is a new thing. I think it's been around forever. It's a human condition, that of being discontent. But I reckon in the society we live in, it's difficult to not go with that current, right? The latest and greatest phone. Maybe I'm just miffed because my upgrade hasn't come through yet. I'm stuck with a ridiculous phone that doesn't work properly. And in any case, it's falling apart. Literally, parts are falling off it. In any case, I can still phone. But if there's some reason I'm slow to respond, just forgive me. But hopefully Telkom will get back to me in the next 3 months or so. But so, you know, there's continually this drive to the bigger thing or the better thing or the upgrade, the trade-in, the something faster, something, you know, and it's now with technology, it's even worse because technology changes so quickly. And every week there's something better and faster, and just if you can't have that thing, you know, you're behind. You know, your phone is at least 2/100 of a second slower, you know, than the next guy's. And that can't happen. So yeah, this is continual push and drive and after that. But when we are in Christ, we find Scripture inviting us to find our contentment, not in stuff or not in things that we have around us, but in a person. To find our contentment with God in Christ. And but that's not everything that I want to talk about this morning. I want us to look at this a little bit of a different concept around it, but let's have a look at this first scripture from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, from 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The word there, guarantees, is the arabon. In the Greek, it speaks of the down payment. Or also the similar concept used for the concept of an engagement ring, the promise of the fullness that is to come, the down payment, the first, you know, the deposit of what is of the fullness that is coming, and also a beautiful picture of Christ, of God sending His Spirit, saying, "Listen, I'm sending you my Spirit as a deposit of the glory that you will experience in eternity, and the measure of God that we will experience in eternity." So he has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee of His promise. But we're looking here at this promise that we see here, and we love to quote this again, that in Christ, all the promises of God are yes and are amen. Don't we like to quote that? And so there's an interesting dynamic that Paul writes about here. Yes, we in Christ, we in God, we have our fulfillment in Christ, right? There's nothing more that we can attain. There's nothing better or greater or bigger than to find our fulfillment in Jesus. Are you with me this morning? We know this in our heads, and often we need to take some time to know it in our hearts also, but there's no relationship on earth. There's no job or career or experience or holiday or anything on earth that can fulfill us in a way that Christ, that God fulfills us in Christ. And there's no other thing that we can pursue that can satisfy us in the way that He does. In a way that pursuing Him and His will satisfies us and fulfills us. Are you with me this morning? But the interesting thing about this contentment this morning, and this is what I want to look at, is that Paul writes about a state, and this is something that John Piper, I don't know if he coined the phrase in his book, but he talks about this. He speaks about the dissatisfied contentment. Let's look at a few points around that this morning. So, yes, it is God's desire and it's God's purpose for us to have that deep, entrenched sense of contentment and security in Christ, right? And at Bible school, we take time, and at the Encounter series, we take time to minister into the security that we have in Christ. Security of our identity that is in Him, our inheritance that is in Christ, our safety, all of that stuff that God has created us with a desire for, we find in Him. So yes, it is His desire for us to have that deep sense of contentment and deep sense of security. But when we look at what Paul writes, and I want us to look at the next one here at Philippians chapter 3, we see there's a bit of a almost, it seems like an oxymoron here, this dissatisfied contentment. He says from verse 12, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So we see an interesting thing here. He says, and Paul writes about this concept of being, of contentment. Was it him that wrote about contentment with godliness as great gain? But here he says that there's a dynamic of he hasn't attained it yet. He's not perfected yet. He's pressing forward. Okay? So there's this interaction between being content, but at the same time dissatisfied. Because he knows there's something more. There's something that he has not yet attained. There's a greater measure that is still not his yet. And in the way he says it here is really precious to me. He says that Christ has laid hold of us, right? Christ is through the cross, through his blood, God has purchased us. He's laid hold of this, us. And he says, because of this, I want to lay hold of that, the fullness of what he has paid for. Can you see that? So we see it's been purchased. You see the promises are yes and amen. But he realizes that the fullness of that promise is not yet his experience. There's still something that he can grow in. There's still something that he can, a greater fullness of Christ and the greater fullness of God that he has not yet experienced. Are you with me this morning? So there's this interesting interaction here between the contentment that we have in Christ, the fullness of Christ, because the cross is sufficient, the cross is finished. There's nothing that can be added to the cross. Are you with me? But our experience of that fullness is yet not yet complete. So there's this interaction. I have not yet apprehended. I leave the stuff that is in the past behind, and I press forward. Now, I think there's an interesting thing. So Paul writes, he says that yes, we are secure in Christ, but that doesn't mean that I'm now just cruising or coasting through life. I'm not just in neutral and just heading downhill. There's an urgency and there's a hunger. Yes, we are secure, but I think this is the trap, that are we secure to a place where we are no longer pursuing God? Are we comfortable in our faith, and are we comfortable in our knowledge of our salvation to a point where we are becoming stagnant and apathetic? And I've seen this in my life. You know, things seem good. God is good. He's faithful in our lives. I don't have to fast and pray and be on my knees for every detail. He's with us. And there's this trap, or there's this temptation to just wallow. Is that a word? You know, to just kind of stagnate. And I've noticed in my own life and other lives that if we slow down and we stagnate to a point of not growing, we tend to, it's weird, it seems like there's no middle ground there. It's really difficult to just idle in our relationship with God. I found if we stop growing, we're probably going backwards. Are you with me this morning? Probably not you guys. I know this is not your problem, but I've experienced this from time to time. That when we stop pushing forward and we stop pursuing Him, it's as if we basically going backwards a bit. One of our mission trips in India, I think it was the first one, we were quite a big team, 19 or 20 people. Just a note, if you want to take a team to India, that's not a good size of team. It's really difficult with a big team like that. And one of the challenges was transport. So we were on our way somewhere, I can't remember where. It was monsoon season, which is lovely. It rains a lot. It rains like you'd never see. We see big thunderstorms here, but it's next level there. It really is. And it was wet, and we got on a public bus there, a public transport bus, and it was so crowded. I've never seen anything like that. Even in the tube in London, okay, it gets crowded there as well, I must admit. To a point where you have to really kind of squeeze in and worm your way in there. So this bus was like that. It was jam-packed. People were standing and sitting and everywhere. And the interesting dynamic is the ladies sit in the front half of the bus and the gentlemen at the back. Okay, just a tip. If you ever go to India, that's how it works. The ladies are in the front, guys are at the back. But like this. And then we were going up this kind of, not really even a steep hill, but we were going up this hill, very muddy, not a tar road. And about three quarters up, we realized we're not going to make it. I think the driver also realized this. And I don't know how he did it, but we came down that hill backwards. We slid down again in this huge bus. And I don't know how he did it. Either guys behind him avoided us, but we didn't crash. We did crash another time. But that was another story. But it's almost like that. Once you stop, you're losing momentum. If you lose momentum, or if you stop growing forward, you start sliding backwards. We don't want to talk about that word, backsliding, but that tends to happen. So we're talking here about the place of, am I ever become a bit apathetic? Have I ever become secure in my faith, but to a point of being lured into this state of stagnation? You know, it's interesting how, and that's why I love working with young people and students and anybody that's younger than me. So that's, I suppose, a lot of people, yeah? But in any case, is that you get challenged, right? Even my children challenge me. Their faith, their simplicity of their faith. And if you're around young people, they remind you of when you were that, when you were zealous and full of faith and trusting God for ridiculous things. But always when that happens, I get really challenged because there's a Holy Spirit that convicts me, saying, but why is it not like that anymore? Why are we not trusting God for those ridiculous things? Why are we not stepping out? Why are we not pushing the boundaries anymore? Why are we content to just kind of go down the river? Why are we not pushing into Christ Where's that urgency gone? That we need more of Him, that we need to grow in Him. Let's go on to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, from 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places we have is ours in Christ. Now we've read about every promise is yes and amen. Amen means so be it. It is an agreement of yes, the promise is ours, right? And now we've seen that every blessing, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places is ours in Christ. Now that is important, the in Christ bit, guys. Okay? We love to quote stuff like shooting from the hip, everything works together for good, right? That's not in the Bible. Okay? For good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. There's a very... Now this again, every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. Okay? And let's go on to verse 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now this is a prayer, praying, enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? So there's this dynamic of us being secure in Christ, but at the same time saying, I know I'm secure, but I desire for more. I know I've experienced the power of God, but I realize that there's a dynamic of His power that I've not yet experienced. I know God is my strength, right? But I also have a conviction that I have a suspicion that there's something of the strength of God in my life that I've not encountered yet. Are you with me? There's something of the hope of His calling in our lives that we have not yet attained. So there's this dynamic of a hunger and an urgency, especially if we read Acts and the New Testament, we see the kind of dynamic of faith and faith life that the guys experienced. Don't you agree that there's a something in our hearts that says, listen, this is the way life is supposed to be. People getting raised from the dead. The other day we were reading about somebody that was raised from the dead with the children. And Abby was asking about it. Obviously, it's a bit of a challenge for her now because her granddad passed away recently. So, you know, she had some questions around that, which is understandable. But we could talk about it. We said, no, you know what? It still happens today. God hasn't changed. Yes, He still raises people from the dead. He still heals people. He still does crazy miracles. So there's this dynamic of, I have experienced the power of God. That there's a dynamic that I've not yet experienced. I'm pushing into that. Am I hungry to experience that? Am I wanting to take a hold? He says, wanting to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Am I pushing toward wanting to lay hold of that? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, and by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. As I'm trusting Holy Spirit this morning to stir in us a dissatisfaction with our current state. Because we see this in the life of Paul now, and this is Peter writing here, but we see these guys accomplishing ridiculous things for God. We just chatted about this the other day. By the way, the summer camp went really well. We've been praying for that. And Tando's brought back a good report. And many young people were ministered to in amazing ways. There were, 180-something on the camp? Wow. We spoke about the reality that most of the disciples were between 15 and 19 when Jesus called them. Yes? and they turn the world upside down. And we see this in this dynamic here that the guys are talking about something that is not yet attained. He says here, giving us all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us. Now, to be partakers of that divine nature, so yes, I have seen Christ transform something in my life, but yet there's something that still needs to change in me. Amen. Yes, I've seen the transforming power of the blood of Jesus in my life, but there's lots of more transformation that needs to happen. I have been trusting Holy Spirit this morning to stir that hunger in us. Yes, God has done miracles in my life, but I have a hunger and a thirst and a desire to see the fullness of Christ in my life. And not only in my life, but through my life. An urgency to see that same power that I have experienced unto salvation in my own life, to see that at work in others' lives. And that when we see the dynamic here where the guys are they're preaching the gospel, they're seeing people delivered and healed and raised from the dead, but you can see that they are pursuing to be more like Christ. And if Paul writes, I've not yet attained, guys, then I'm good news for each of us. We have not yet attained. Are you with me? We have not yet arrived. We have not yet come to that place, whether in divine nature being like Christ or having the fullness, having experienced the fullness of His power, the fullness of His promise, the fullness of His love even, and His forgiveness. We have not reached the end. Amen? We are not scraping the bottom of the bucket yet. And that will be prayed before. I feel there's some here that feel they are just beyond the grace of God. That what has happened in your life is beyond His grace. I feel this morning God wants to say, no, you're just scraping the surface of my love and of my forgiveness and of my grace and of my power and of my presence. You've tasted, but you have not experienced the fullness. Amen? Are we pursuing that? Are we hungry for that fullness? Are we hungry for that, to know that there's a greater experience of His power and of His grace, of His purpose and His plan? Now, when every sinner comes to Christ, and each of us here are sinful, we have this, you know, when we come to Him with all our needs, you and I can be confident that, you know, sometimes, I don't know if you ever felt like that, you feel like you just, there's so much stuff, there's so much need in our life. We come to God, we always feel embarrassed, okay, like, yo, Lord, it's me again, you know, But when we come, when we approach God with humility, He, as we approach Him with all our needs, Christ, God comes to us with Christ and with all His promises. Amen? With the fullness of the cross, the fullness of His provision. And as when we as sinners come to God and we ask, you know, these questions, and we approach Him, He approaches us with a resounding yes. Yes, all the questions that are on our heart. Will He love me? Yes. That thing in our hearts, will He accept me? Yes. In Christ, yes. Will He forgive us? Yes. In Christ, He will. Amen. Will He accept me just as I am? Yes. Will He give me power to change? Yes, as well. Amen. Will He give me grace to be transformed? Yes. Will He keep us safe? You know, often in new seasons and changes happening, many of us find it difficult when seasons of change come. Some of us, you know, it really freaks us out if stuff changes too quickly. But when we come to Him with our fears, we know He says, will you keep us safe? And the answer is yes. In Christ, all those promises are yes. Are you with me this morning? And I felt the Holy Spirit stirring my heart to say, are you and I willing to bring these promises to God? And to hear Him affirm and say, yes, my son, yes, my daughter, I will keep you safe. Yes, yes, there's lots of changes, and yes, there's lots of challenges, but I am with you. My promises have not changed. The fullness of the cross is still sufficient. My provision for you is still in abundance. Will He show us His glory? Yes. In Christ, He will. Amen. And I know there's a thing, maybe it's a South African thing, I don't know where it comes from. There's this thing that we sometimes feel like those promises may be applicable to other believers. But when it comes to myself, sometimes we doubt. Isn't that true? And this morning, I just want to squash that lie in Jesus' name. Because the Word says, in Christ, all of the promises are yes. Amen. Not some, not if you perform up to standard and you make the grade and you tick the boxes. It says, in Christ, not in your performance, not in my getting stuff right, not in my being a good person, but in Christ, the promises, in the fullness of it, are yes. And are amen. And are for us. And as we pray a bit later, I'm trusting Holy Spirit to stir in us a knowledge and a security in our contentment in Christ, but at the same time, a dissatisfaction in the realization that there is so much that God has yet prepared for us. And maybe as you're praying about the new year, and as you may be going into a new season, or stuff is changing, I'm trusting Holy Spirit to stir in us a desire and a hunger for more of Him. Now, when Reinhard Bonnke, a great evangelist, recently had his farewell crusade in Nigeria, but many years ago already, when we had a privilege of meeting him at one of the outreaches, and I remember hearing about the story where his son-in-law was kind of making fun of him a bit. He says, listen, you know, you're coming to the end of your career now. You're kind of slowing down, but we're ready to take over. You know, we're going to outrun you type of thing. And he just said, no, it doesn't work like that. He reckons a Boeing is the quickest at the end of the runway. He says he's like a Boeing. He's at the end of the runway. He's going to be at the fastest he's ever been. Isn't that a great way to think about life? We hit 30 and we're like, yeah, now we start. 40 is like, yes, now I'm already halfway retired, you know. And never mind if it comes to retirement age, then we're already, you know, that's the mentality of life. But he says, no, I want to run the race. I want to be my fastest, my most effective in the gospel. I want to be the most effective tool in God's hand when I'm almost in heaven. Are we pursuing Him with that desire? That, you know, my prayer is that the older generation in our midst will challenge the younger generation with our faith, with our crazy faith and our boldness in the gospel. That when students come to the older people in our church, that they will be challenged and say, wow, look at the dynamic of faith that we can look up to, not the other way around. Let's stand this morning. I will actually just, yeah, let's read this last. As we stand, you can read this last bit. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul praying says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want to pray this prayer over my own life every day of next year. Isn't that, shouldn't we do that? Over my family. I don't think that's a bad exercise. To pray some of these prayers over our lives, over our families, that we may be rooted and grounded in love, and that we may comprehend, and not only comprehend, but that we may be filled with the fullness of God. Are you filled with the fullness of God? I know it is mine in Christ, but I tell you now, I'm not yet experiencing all of it. Amen? But I want to, that we may not only just comprehend it, but that we may pursue it and embrace it and have a dissatisfaction in our state, saying, I'm so grateful for the cross, but I am hungry for more of Him. I'm so grateful for the power of His salvation in my life, but I want to see that power of salvation in my city, and in my workplace, and in my family, and in our nation. I'm so grateful for what God has done and the miracle that He's done in my life, but I have a desire to see Him do greater miracles. Amen. Can I have some of the band up? We can pray. Thank you, guys. And I love the way that it talks about the dimensions here, right? The width and the length and the depth and the height, and it's like multiple dimensions. Are we just putting our toes in the water? Or are we being immersed? And are we checking what are the limits? You know, children are great with this. They check the boundaries, right? They see, what's the limit to this patience thing of dad? You know, where's the limit? And they will, yeah, that's amazing. You know, they love it. But I want to say, let's be like children. Let's push the limits. So where's the limit of the power of God in my life? Where's the limit of His grace and His forgiveness? Maybe not the forgiveness, but let's not push that limit. But let's push the limit of His power and His love. Amen? His power unto salvation. His glory manifested in us. Where is that limit? Scripture says that in Christ, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And most of these scriptures we read today are some people are really nervous around scriptures like that, because it speaks of all, it speaks of everything, it speaks of fullness, it speaks of these big, all-encompassing words. And we, some of us, were just putting our toe in and scratching the surface. And I feel the Holy Spirit stirring us this morning, say, dive in. Let's pray. Hallelujah, God, we stand in awe of the cross this morning, Lord. We stand in awe of Your love, God. We stand in awe of Your grace and Your forgiveness. Oh, Lord, and we realize that there's nothing beyond Christ. There's no greater thing, Lord. There's no thing and there's no experience that can satisfy us and fulfill us and completely fill us up like You do, Lord. There's nothing. But at the same time, we realize, God, that we have not yet found the ends of the width and the depth and the length and the breadth. We have not yet reached the fullness of Christ in our lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, this morning, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would fill us, Lord, with a godly, dissatisfied contentment, Lord, that we would realize that there's a measure of Christ and there's a measure of Your love that we have not yet experienced. There's a measure of Your power that we have not yet experienced. Lord, that you would stir in us, Lord, a hunger, and stir in us a thirst. Stir in us, Lord, a desire for you, Lord. A desire for your fullness in our lives, God. A dissatisfaction with our current state, realizing that, yes, you've brought us so far, but, Lord, we have got so far to go, and we want to do, you want to press into you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, deliver us, Lord, of apathy, Lord. Deliver us in the name of Jesus, Lord. Deliver us of this stagnation, Lord. In the name of Jesus. I just feel some of us are like that, the frog in the lukewarm water. It just gets heated up, and we're going to be cooked and die. Because we're slowly, slowly just sinking away. Slowly sinking back. Slowly sliding down the hill. We are backsliding and we don't even know it. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray this morning that you would open our eyes. God, that you would arrest our hearts, Lord, to see that this our faith has been stagnating. It's been stagnant and we've been apathetic about so much. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, fill us afresh this morning. Fill us with your power, Lord. Holy Spirit, fill us with your fullness in this place. Hallelujah. With every eyes closed this morning, if you have a desire for more of God, if you have a stirring in your heart right now, I'm not going to call you forward, but just where you are, just raise your hands to Him. Say, Lord, I ask that you do this in my life. Stirring me that hunger, dissatisfaction. Lord, I need more of you. I want to experience your glory and your power. Hallelujah, God. You see every heart in Jesus' name. You see every life. And right now, Holy Spirit, stir that in us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you that you are the one that is faithful to complete this work. But I pray, Lord, that even as we go through life, that we will not be happy with just existing, Lord, that we would push into you every day. Lord, give us a thirst and a hunger for your word. Give us a hunger, Lord, and a desire for your presence. Oh, Lord, that we would not put only our toes in the river, but that we would dive in, Lord, with everything we have. Stir in us again that reckless faith, Lord, that faith that trusts you beyond boundaries, Lord, beyond the fears, beyond what society says, beyond the running off the stuff, Lord, that we would push into you, God, in Jesus' name. You see every heart. Thank you that you meet everyone right now where they are at. Thank you that you deliver us of fear this morning. I just feel this somehow caught in fear. And it's the fear of it just trying to maintain the status quo that is binding us. It's keeping us from running with Him. It's keeping us from growing and flourishing in our faith. God, in the name of Jesus, we trust right now that you would cut off the bonds of fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Your word says it's the love of God that casts out every fear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As we're just keeping in this attitude of prayer, as eyes are closed, if you're here this morning, maybe you've been around church, or maybe you haven't. Maybe this is a new experience for you. But if you're here and you don't understand when we're talking about being in Christ, you know that you are not right with God. You know that you maybe drifted away. Maybe you've had some kind of a relationship with Him in the past, but right now you know you're far from Him. This morning, there's an invitation. The Father is extending to you and saying, my son, my daughter, I'm calling you to come close to me. I've sent my son and he's given his life in your place. He's paid for your sin. He's paid for your shame and your guilt. He's taken every sin and everything that's happened in your life. He's taken upon himself and he's made provision for you to be washed clean. for you to come to the Father, for you to be accepted by Him in Christ. While every eye is closed, if that's you this morning and you want to accept that invitation, you know right now you need to draw near to Him today. Won't you raise your hand for a moment? I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to encourage you, and I'd love to pray, spend some time praying together. Is anybody like that this morning? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Oh Lord, we thank you even over this holiday period, God. In the name of Jesus, you'd stir in us a hunger, Lord. You would stir in us a thirst. Lord, that you would stir in us a dissatisfaction with our current state, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and we ask it, even going into next year, Lord, that you would take off the lid that is pressing down, Lord, on our expectation of what is possible with you, Lord, that you would shatter, Lord, everything that wants to contain the power of God in our lives, that you would destroy every bond, that you would destroy every lid, that you would destroy every limitation in the name of Jesus. Everything in our minds that is containing what we believe is possible, in the name of Jesus, we ask, come, Lord, and break through all of that nonsense, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Let your glory manifest in our lives, God. In Jesus' name, let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.